getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah of Tonic Podcasts, and I'm thrilled to be here with Dr. Tanya Winchester, and our subject today is summertime and natural remedies for this time of year.
Yes, it's so perfect.
So when I think of summer, I think of sunshine. Tell us about the sunshine and what we should be careful about in terms of exposure to sun.
Yes, very good question. And as I'm sure you all know, you know, you do have to be careful in the sun. However, we'll get to some topics or some techniques to help you after getting potentially a sunburn. But I do want to just start with sunscreen. And one thing that I find to be true is when I'm actually outside exposed to sunshine without sun protection, so without sunscreen or clothing, I have such a good sleep that night. And I did some research a couple of years ago about this, and it turns out there's a lot of benefits from actually accessing sunlight unprotected. And I'm not saying to go and be a sun worshiper, of course, you know, there's risks associated with that we don't need to go into. But there are some really solid health benefits that I want to share with you. So one of the first things is I am someone who has sensitive skin, if you've listened to some of our other podcasts, and I get rashes when I put sunscreen on. So I'm always looking for alternative ways, and there are some nice options from a natural health food store that you can actually source to put on your body. But when you don't put sunscreen on, there's some good things that can happen. So first of all, we all know vitamin D is something that we get when we're accessing sunshine.
And how long does your skin have to be exposed to get vitamin D?
Yeah, so for your sort of daily amount, you need to be exposed without sunscreen or clothing. It's about 40% of your body, so almost half of your body skin exposed. And it's about 20 minutes. And depending on where in the world you are, for us at our latitude, usually that's sort of between, you know, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., maybe as far as 1 p.m., sorry. And so 20 minutes. And then after that, applying sunscreen or wearing clothing is a good strategy. There's actually entire clinics, or there used to be anyways, in Europe that were that were based on putting people into sunshine to heal them. So this is actually called heliotherapy or sunshine therapy. And some of the benefits that we get is, as I mentioned, it helps you sleep. So when we're exposed to sunlight, and that actually will support our melatonin, which is one of our sleep hormones in the body. And going back to vitamin D is really good at helping you improve your mood. So if you have access to sunlight without protection, you're going to increase your vitamin D, which is going to increase your mood. The vitamin D is also very good for skin health. So if there is rashes or even acne, psoriasis even, the sunlight can actually be useful. And for some folks, psoriasis treatment is actually to go into a tanning booth and get suntanned.
That's so interesting, because it's so contrary to the way that we've been educated in the last 10, 15 years about sunshine.
Yeah, I think we're unfortunately very sun phobic. And yes, I'm not trying to downplay the risks of too much sun exposure, but with the adequate exposure and a really good healthy diet, you're actually quite protected. If you think of all the orange and yellow and red vegetables and fruits out there, they're actually highly sun protective. So you can eat them or juice them in combination with a well-rounded whole food diet and actually gain protection. So it's the vitamin E in there, it's the vitamin C, the vitamin A in those fruits and vegetables that are actually acting as an internal sunscreen.
So food can help provide a natural sunscreen that we wouldn't even think of, and getting a moderate amount of sunshine is healthy.
I would say so, yes. Yes. And we've talked about skin health, we've talked about mood, we've talked about sleep. It also can reduce incidence of autoimmune disease. They've tested everything from multiple sclerosis to type 1 diabetes. It can prevent cancer. Again, that's most likely due to the vitamin D. Lowering blood pressure, like the list of benefits actually is quite extensive. Supporting the bones, the teeth, again, that comes back to vitamin D, the immune system, fighting off infections. Like, there's actually quite a lot of benefit to it.
Mm-hmm. And for those people who spend more than 20 minutes exposed to the sun and need some kind of sunscreen, then what are some of the sunscreens that have worked for you for sensitive skin?
Yeah, I'll put a list of some of the ones that I've liked in the show notes. My favorite one is a local company actually called, they are from Tofino, and Sea Wench is the name of the company, and I'm not affiliated with them in any way. They make a sunscreen. It's not SPF rated, but I've had great benefit with it, and I've done a little test where I've written sort of, you know, a letter on my skin in the sunscreen, and and that stayed normal color, and the rest got color. So it's effective and natural, and it's a great and local to us here in on Vancouver Island, which is really cool.
And what about what happens, you know, for people who get sunburn? Are there natural remedies that can help to soothe the sunburn?
Yes, absolutely. So you probably all know of aloe vera. Aloe vera comes from those lovely succulent plants with that clear gel inside. So if you are going to go purchase some of this already extracted from the plant, be sure to get one that doesn't have any dyes or color. It shouldn't be green, okay? So it is a clear gel. I mean, ideally you have the plant and you're able to just, you know, rip a little leaf off of it and squeeze some of that gel out.
I find it sticky.
Yes, it is quite sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yes, a clear aloe vera gel from the health food store. And then there is, obviously hydration is really important. So I would actually suggest maybe making your own sort of sports rehydrating drink. So this would just be water. I can put the recipe in the show notes here, but it would be water, a little bit of sea salt, and a little bit of honey to rehydrate. Another nice herb to support the healing of sunburns is witch hazel, which you can actually just get from any pharmacy. It's usually sold in the first aid section. And other essential oils include lavender, rose, and tea tree. And you could actually put those all into, like, a couple drops of each into a spray bottle with some water and spritz that onto your skin.
Oh, that sounds like a wonderful after-sun spritzer.
Yes, yes, quite refreshing. And one is really good is mint oil, actually. This is for those burns that are so bad that they're almost itchy, like they're so aggravated that the skin is itchy, and putting a little bit of peppermint oil, mixing it in with a carrier oil, almond or avocado or coconut, and putting that on can be very, very soothing and quite cooling, actually. And vitamin E is one I would suggest. That's actually going to come up a lot today. Vitamin E, taking orally, but also the oil can be applied to the skin. And something else, zinc orally, and zinc and vitamin E are both going to sort of speed up the healing process.
Now, you mentioned hydration, really important for sunburns and for summer in general. Are there certain foods, like I think of watermelon and cucumbers, but certain foods that are really good for hydration?
I would just drink water, and again, just a little bit of sea salt in there. And just you're getting your water from water, not from food. Let's not complicate things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you've got a sunburn that's so bad that you're blistering and you feel nauseous, you might actually need to get professional attention and maybe even professional rehydration with some saline at the hospital, for example.
So what's the difference between sunburn and sunstroke?
We will get to that next. So sunstroke is basically a very severe form of sun exposure. So it starts as something called heat exhaustion. This is sort of the middle step. And heat exhaustion is when you've been quite active, you've lost water, maybe you've been sweating a lot. So you might want to consider thinking about this if you're feeling kind of headachy, dizziness, having some blurred vision. And if this gets serious enough, you can actually go into shock, which could look like really cold, clammy skin, shallow breathing. You might have a rapid pulse and even muscle cramps. And some people can even vomit and even pass out. So this would be the most serious form of this, heat exhaustion, and that's heat stroke, which is when the body can no longer regulate its own body temperature, and so heats up very quickly and probably comes along with nausea and a very serious headache. And they might be red in the face. So that's sort of the gradient of sun exposure. And those more serious forms do require medical attention.
And I suppose the first thing would be to get out of the sun and get hydrated.
Yeah, that's a really good starting place. Absolutely.
And then if symptoms persist, to seek medical attention.
Yes, I would actually, if things are that extreme, I would get medical attention.
So we've covered sunscreen, sunburn, sunstroke, the importance of exposing ourselves to the sun. What about when we're outside and all the insects?
Ah yes, bug bites. Aren't they fun, right? So we can get mosquito bites, we can get spider bites, we can get, well, tick bites. I'm going to leave that for another conversation, though. Fly bites, right? And even stings. We can talk a little bit about wasp and bee stings here as well. So the first thing ideally is to prevent, right? So if you're tend to be someone who gets bitten, using essential oils again come in really handy here for preventing bites, and those can include tea tree oil. You've probably heard of citronella. Peppermint's another good one. Lavender is another good one. So instead of using those sort of DEET laden sprays to repel insects, these essential oils can be really valuable. Again, they're too concentrated to go right on the skin, so in carrier oil of some kind. Okay, castor oil or almond oil, and then apply to the skin.
So you would just apply a couple of drops of essential oil to a carrier oil, and then you would rub that oil on your skin as a natural insect repellent.
Yeah.
And they work?
Yeah, yeah. We actually carry one in our clinic. That's a bunch of essential oils called Bugs Are Gone. Another option, we can go back to that spritzer idea. You can put the essential oils in a water, like a spray bottle, and spray it onto your clothes and stuff. So how do we treat them once we get them? Well, sometimes when we're allergic to bug bites, of course, you probably know that that's the case for you. You would want to be seeking medical attention again. But some of the things that are really important to healing, we covered when we were talking about the sunburn, and vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin A, and zinc are all very supportive of healing and immune function. So vitamin C is something that will build collagen, as an example. The vitamin A and E are healing to the skin tissues, also act as antimicrobials. I really like, again, witch hazel for bug bites. We said that again for sunburn. It's kind of neat because there's just a few things that you can get for your summer kit and you're kind of covered for a lot of different ailments, which is kind of neat. St. John's wort is another herb that I really like for bug bites. And you can get that as a tincture or it can come as like a cream or, and then even just some old school techniques like baking soda mixed with a bit of water applied to the bite can really help. A bit of ice. So far in our summer kit, we've got witch hazel, St. John's wort, we've talked about vitamin C, E, A, and zinc, and some essential oils.
And in terms of the vitamins, what form do you take them in?
Those would go orally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in pill form?
Yes.
Okay. And those you can get easily in a natural health food store.
Exactly. You got it.
So bee stings, mosquito bites, all kinds of insect bites, any warning signs of, you know, something that might be alarming to watch out for in terms of insect bites?
If you're noticing that you're having trouble breathing, if your lips are tingling, if there's a lot of swelling, you might need to get some support either through, I mean, an antihistamine of some kind, or even something more serious like medical attention. Most of the time things are going to resolve on their own and we can kind of speed the healing with these natural ideas. But in more serious cases, of course, don't try to be a hero about these things and get yourself the help you need.
Now, people spend a lot of time outdoors in the sunshine, playing sports, hiking, canoeing, kayaking, swimming, all sorts of things. What about injury?
Oh, good one. Yeah. So our friend Hypericum comes, St. John's wort comes in handy again here. But also Arnica is a tincture that you can buy. And what you can actually do is put some drops of the tincture. And a tincture is basically an alcohol extraction, typically alcohol extraction of the medicine from the herb. So then you've got this liquid full of herbal medicine. And you could actually put that, say, on a cloth and actually put it right to the strain or the sprain. So it actually gets absorbed topically and helps out that way. There's some really handy hydrotherapy ideas. There's mixed opinions now about whether we ice, whether we heat. And I like to think of what's happening in nature. So when we get injured, there's heat, right? There's redness, there's swelling. These are all the signs of inflammation. So we can actually kind of mimic that a little bit by doing some hot application and also a little bit of cold application, but kind of trying to mimic the inflammation because that's actually what heals the wound. So 3 minutes of a hot application and then 1 minute of a cold application and repeating that 3 times is a great way to help the area heal.
So it might be through, you know, one of those, we get into the shower and we directly apply hot and cold to the area that we're injured.
Or just get like a heat pack and an ice pack.
Mm-hmm. Heating pad or ice pad and apply it directly. And yeah. 3 to 1, so 3 minutes to 1 minute, a couple times?
I would say 3 times total.
3 times total. And then to repeat that a couple times a day?
Exactly. That's right.
And what does the cold do?
The cold is going to essentially drive blood flow back to the area. What happens is there's a reflex that goes on with our blood vessels when we're exposed to hot water. Initially, the blood vessels kind of dilate and allow the blood to flow more, but that reflex is short-lived. And after 2 or 3 minutes, it actually, the vessels start to constrict. So they close off and we're not getting the blood flow there anymore. And what the cold does is re-engage those blood vessels so that they can deliver the oxygen, deliver the nutrients for the healing.
Great. And if there's an injury that continues to persist, then it's probably best to seek medical attention.
Yes, and we have a lot of great techniques here at the office that we can do to help out. So there's acupuncture can be really useful. There's something we do called biopuncture, which is the injection of natural remedies to the area, which stimulates healing and is very effective. So lots of other options as well.
Other than what you might get at a doctor's office?
Yes, definitely.
And any, you know, when I think of summer, I think about, you know, lots of long days and lots of time outside and lots of social activities. And what about the exhaustion that comes from just longer days and lots of social events and lots of people time?
Get rest. Yeah, it's an exciting time of year, and from a Chinese medicine perspective, it's in the season of fire, the fire element, which is where we're in love, we're passionate, we're excited, we're joyful, we're laughing, we're playing, and that's okay to definitely honor that at this time of year, but take care of yourself and get the rest that you need.
And anything else about summertime that you are inspired by or you'd like to share with listeners?
I have some delicious recipes I'm going to put in the show notes of some frozen treats that you can make for you and your family. They're definitely kid approved and delicious, so we will share those in the show notes. But otherwise, have a great summer and be safe.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester, getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.